311.
Good afternoon. This is the 311 radio show. As always, on VOB 92.9 FM. Trust you've been having a wonderful Sunday and you're ready to learn, listen and learn, and of course, put into action what you need to do as we hear from the Barbados Fire Service. I am Krista J. Paul. And with us today, we have Fire and Life Safety Officer Kevin Sobers.
Good afternoon, Barbados.
And Research and Planning Officer Andrew Taylor.
Good afternoon, everyone.
All right. No, I'm not going to say Officer Taylor, that when we hear Officer Taylor, we know what's coming. I'm not going to say that, right? But
I can't say it.
Wow. Well, you have some statistics for us today. You are the statistics man. And we know that you always have your numbers ready for us, and we need to be reminded of certain precautions and so on. So what statistics do you have to offer us today, Officer Taylor?
Okay, so good afternoon again. So we're actually down in overall fires so far for the year. Because from January 1st to present in 2019, overall fires were 1,362. Whereas now in 2020, we are at 1,227.
Ooh.
But even in saying that, we were still looking at the what we call the quarantine period. Mm-hmm. So from March 22nd upward. And so far, we've had 831 fires in that period. So that the quarantine period has basically given us 831 fires, which is a lot. Because if you had to subtract, do some simple math and subtract the 831 from 1227, then you would see what we're basically left with. So in that quarantine period, we had 205 rubbish fires, 517 grass fires, and 19 house fires. And if you had to do the comparison to 2019, there were only 134 rubbish fires, 404 grass fires, and 15 house fires for that same March 22nd to present period. The good news, though, is that our derelict house fires are down, because even some of the house fires we had recently were because of derelict houses that actually spread onto other properties.
Ooh.
And we actually were thinking about a program where we could possibly team up with the Ministry of Health, and if we could, I mean, it would be a pretty big task to kind of point out some of the derelict houses inside, especially the St. Michael districts,
mm-hmm.
because that's where we're getting our most of our issues in the parish of St. Michael. But if we could identify a lot of these derelict structures and see if we can do something to either, if we can't find the owners, I have to have them demolished or made safe in some way, because we are finding a few of our house fires now to be actually starting from within these derelict structures. We are hoping that the grass fires will stay down, especially now that the rains are in, because for last year we were at 860 grass fires, and now we're at 727. But we don't want to be a case where we have to wait for the rain to basically save us from this scourge of grass fires. We really want to get people to that point where they understand that it's just wrong to just burn indiscriminately. And we want the education and a change in people's attitudes to be the reason why our numbers keep reducing.
Well, you mentioned derelict houses. I mean, how are the fires being started in these derelict houses?
Well, with a lot of the derelict houses, people take the opportunity to occupy them. and sometimes, you know, people may actually have pieces of, say, a sponge using as beds in these homes. And sometimes people actually smoke as well. Or they may have cardboard, they may use cardboard and pieces of wood to actually cook inside these homes,
yeah,
as well. And that could lead to the house, the fire starting inside the derelict house.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just the fact that there are derelict houses, but that they are being occupied, well, in many cases, I'm sorry, it would be trespassing.
Correct.
Right, and you know, maybe activities, legal or illegal, that, you know, could be happening in these. So it's an even broader picture than just having derelict houses and, you know, activities that lead to fires that spread to other houses, occupied houses.
Because actually, if you had to hear some of the comments from, say, residents in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. so people would say, oh, well, you know, that house is a threat to people's safety. We have a lot of young ladies in the district and stuff like that. And obviously no one's going to come and say, well, we did A, B, or C. But
right.
sometimes, you know, people would do what they think they have to do to make themselves safe. And obviously we don't want that either, because that is still a crime at the end of the day.
Yes. So there needs to be some kind of, I don't know if I should say, some kind of program. The next thing, too, is, I mean, you just mentioned that there are people who are in the neighborhood, residents, who may say, identify some kind of cause. But then there may be those who may not want to have anything to do with any authority, you know, coming forward to any authority to offer any kind of information, because they themselves don't want to get in any kind of trouble. What do you think can be put in place for these kind of situations? Is it that you have information coming forward to say, you know, this is the activity inside this particular derelict home, so that you can identify and say, okay, let's call this organization so we can get this matter sorted?
I think, honestly, the only thing we can do is let people know that we're actually looking at, how should I put it, creating a program where we're looking to crack down on the amount of the amount of derelict houses that are just there sitting.
Yeah.
And I think as long as people know that we are, I obviously giving the reason behind it. So we'll be telling them, okay, well, out of the 10 houses we have for the month, three start hitting in derelict structures. So we'll put it out there, the reason why we're actually paying interest in these derelict structures, especially in Parish St. Michael. And I think as long as we give people an outlet where they can call anonymously and give us information about, say, structures within the neighborhood, then we could probably do some background checks. And as I said earlier, probably team up with the Ministry of Health and other stakeholders and see how we can go about reducing another threat.
Yes.
And I think on top of that, too, from going out, you will always see this neighborhood has a neighborhood watch or a neighborhood warden. And I think that is something that we could look back at going back at, because having a neighborhood watch or someone who you see in a neighborhood who is responsible and someone you could see doing a good job at that, you as a neighborhood could agree that this person could represent the persons for this neighborhood, and they could be the layers between the fire service, but emergency services, be it fire, police, or whatever the case may be. And to our listeners, we at the fire service, we are not closed off from you. We welcome you to call and give us the information. We welcome you to call and contact us as it relates to any queries and stuff that you may have that could assist us in assisting you and doing an even better job at prevention and protecting us all. So outside of the fire warnings, those listeners who may have any information that or any questions that they have, feel free to contact us at the fire service, and we'll be sure to assist in whatever way we can.
Wonderful. Yes, of course. We know that the Barbados Fire Service goes above and beyond the call of duty, and you definitely take the time to see the different issues that are you know, need to be addressed in the different communities you serve, and make things happen. So we really, really are appreciative of this. And, you know, there are other environmental problems that come with derelict houses. I mean, overgrown bush that leads to cowage and, you know, so for rodents and all these things.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that the people, the residents in these communities will be extremely grateful for your assistance in any way. But, of course, you can help them, but they need to help you as well. So I'm sure you'll make that appeal.
Very much
for their help. But their help as well, you know, in identifying these houses so that you can deal with the issues there.
Yeah, help us make our job a lot easier.
Yes, yes, for you.
for
the residents.
For everybody.
Yes, for everybody.
Because what will benefit us will ultimately benefit them as well, because the less fires, the more we get out there and interact and teach persons about fire safety and fire prevention, the more persons are better prepared and ready to for whatever may come.
Yes, that's true. That's true. All right. Now, you mentioned the statistics, Officer Taylor, for the quarantine period. And you, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said for the same period last year, from March 22nd upward, it was 1227 last year. But it's 831 this year. Is that correct?
No, sorry. The quarantine period, we've had 831 fires within that period. The 1227 would be the overall fires we've had for the year so far.
Ah, okay.
Right,
got you.
Right.
All right, so the quarantine period, March 22nd to now, basically.
To now, yeah, basically, yes. We've
had
831 fires.
Yeah. Ah, all right. So the difference is 396. So we definitely would have had more fires, during the quarantine period.
Yeah.
What would you say would have accounted for this?
People being at home. Honestly, plain and simple, it's people being at home, and I think people just take the opportunity to. I don't say people are lawless, but clearly if we look at the numbers, we can clearly see that there is something definitely wrong. Because if between March 22nd and now we could record 831 fires, it shows that something is definitely wrong. There's some missing link between the messages that we are putting out and what people are receiving. And I don't know if it's that people just want to see the smoke, want to see the fire, want to see the fire truck come out. If they're really, you know, that into cleaning around their homes, that they need to burn off the grass and rubbish and stuff like that. But it's really puzzling for us here at the fire service why this big spike in the numbers, especially house fires, because, 19 house fires in that period. 19 house fires in that period. 37 overall for the year so far, but 19 in that period. And we just had one that was last week.
Last week.
I think either late last week or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Silver Sands, and it said that one of the children were actually playing with a lighter.
Oh,
and that
nice.
Is what caused the house to burn. And one of the responding officers actually told me that if the neighboring homes, if those homes were timber, he said that could possibly be two or three houses destroyed by fire. But because they're a wall, it actually slowed the fire spread to those other homes. So this is where we'll let Officer Sobers go into a little bit more about teaching our children about fire safety and keeping them safe during this period, because, you know, a lot of parents have actually gone back out to work and the children are now home alone.
Before you do that, I just did a quick calculation just to bring even more the reality of what we're dealing with. Because from March 22nd till now, you're looking at 12 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And if it's 831 fires, that would have been 69 fires per week, which is out. It's it's really too high.
Yes.
And, you know, that's 9 fires per day, about 9-10 fires per day. And that is no easy feat for the Barbados, for anything, for the pull on water, resources, for the Barbados Fire Service. That is not acceptable. So we're
Especially in the era when we were on the drought and everything, too.
Yes.
Water scarce country on the drought, and we having to use so much water to extinguish fires and stuff. It's really not good, but it's even worse that, as you said, imagine 9 fires at least in a day, because some days you may have even more.
Yeah.
So you have my colleagues, personally, fire service, who some days will get work early and have to be out there and be out there an entire day being diverted from fire to fire before being able to eat and that sort of stuff. And a time when we were practicing social distancing and trying to be away from. So it's like all of this, it really isn't good, Barbados. We must do better.
Wow.
And
so,
I guess
it
also brings some truth to the saying that the devil finds work for idle hands. Try. Yeah.
So keep occupied.
Yes.
Eagerly.
<Yeah. laughs> So we welcome the opening back somewhat.
Yes. That's true. Wow. So 831 for the past 12 weeks, 6 to 9 per week, average 9 per day. We must do better. So, Officer Sobers, you're going to be giving us some pointers as to how we can keep our children in check at this time.
Yes, and I am sure Barbados have heard these tips on this radar program and from the fire service time and time again. But considering the information that we receive as it relates to the house fire we had within a week, I'm just going to reemphasize parents teach your children not to play with matches, not to play with lighters. I mean, yes, we would have said before, if you see matches or lighters, say that to your parents or a grown-up. I'm not even going to say that. Do not play, do not touch matches or lighters. If you see them, report it to a grown-up so that they can move it.
Yes.
Outside of that, the importance of practicing the EDIF drills, exit drills in the home. The purpose of this drill is not only for the adults to know what to do in the event of a fire, but for the children as well. So involve your children in frequent EDIF drills at least once a month to start with. What you'll do is, while the children may be there watching television or involved in something, you'll sound the alarm, fire, fire. And you could first watch how they get out of the house or what they will do. You then sit down with them and you say, okay, this is what you did and this is what we want you to do in the event that there's a fire or someone tells you shouts there's a fire. And you're walking through the process of getting out of the house and having a meeting place outside of the house upwind so that in the event, even if something happens when you are not home, that the child knows where to go and that everyone knows where to look for the child. That way, when the fire service arrives on the scene, we won't have to be going into a building looking for someone who is already outside, but no meeting place was set. So having a meeting place, does it eliminates you having to run back into a building looking for someone who's already on the outside because you know where they will be, and it also assists us so that when we get there, that we will know what tactic we would be deployed.
Yes.
To the parents and children, once you are outside, stay outside. So, to the teacher children, whether it is your favorite toy, or you forgot something in the house, or you forget your nice, I'm from St. Lucie, so I'm not going to say the word BAG. I'm going to say Havasat. You forget your Havasat in the house, and it has your prayers for your paycheck, whatever do not go back in the house regardless for anything. Once outside, stay outside. Teach your children, I mean, even if God forbid that the child did something wrong or they feel that they may be punished for doing something or even playing with the matches or lighters, teach them regardless. Don't hide, go outside. Because they may be scared as the consequences are, oh, mommy gonna beat me because I started the fire or because I did this. No, that's no time to hide, to go in the closet, to go under the bed. No. Teach them regardless of what happens. If you hear fire, get out of the building. Now, I will go even further to say, if it is that you are sleeping and you should have small alarms, Barbados, in your homes by now, because we've been preaching that for the past how much years. The small alarm wakes you up that there's a fire in your home. You wake up and you see the house or the room filled with smoke. Just remember, fall and crawl. The reason why you do this is because smoke and all the poisonous gases, the heat and everything would rise and the cleaner air, and it'd be clearer to see the lower you are. So get as low as possible on your hands and feet. You crawl to the nearest wall and you fall, and you follow the wall on through the, to the outside of your home. And once you get to the outside, you go to the meeting place. You do a head count to make sure that everyone is accounted for. Sorry. Once you get to the meeting place, call 311, regardless of, even if you think that the neighbor or somebody else would have called. There's no such thing as too much calls to report a fire. If it is, even if they call, you still call to make sure that the first service has been alerted. Once that is done, you do a head count to make sure that everyone is accounted for, so that when we get there, we will know if everybody's outside or if it is, we have to go and look for someone.
Oh, okay. Those are some... I'm sorry, are you through?
Yeah, for now, yes.
Okay, yes. So those are some really, really good points. And some of them we hadn't even mentioned. I don't recall us ever mentioning a couple of them in the 311 radio show, even as you talked about, you know, if you think you're going to get in trouble, this is for the children, of course.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to get in trouble,
definitely,
having started the fire, do not hide. That is a very, very important point, and one that, as much as a parent might be upset, hurt, angry, disappointed, you know, the life of the child is more important, you know.
Exactly.
And yeah, that's a very, very valid point, Officer Sobers. And even these things we should really teach our children, not just to stop, drop, and roll, but if you, God forbid, if you started a fire, do not hide.
Go outside.
Go outside. Yes, go outside. And the point as well that you made about that the children should know where to go, and then you should alert the fire officers that the children are not, that the child is not inside the home, because obviously you risk your life going into a burning building. So, you know, you wouldn't want to have to go searching for a human when the human is outside and, you know, that information was not relayed to you. So, and I don't believe, well, I don't know how it is that you communicate with each other. If, for example, you go in a burning building looking for somebody and the person is outside, would there be an officer on the outside to be able to communicate to one on the inside to say, the child is outside, come back out? Does that happen? Or
Yes, it does happen.
Okay.
On most cases, we communicate via the radio RTSets, portable RTSets that we have.
Right, okay. So I mean, that's good, but you don't want to have to do it. You know?
Very much so.
Right, so, yeah, thank you for those points. Those are important. And
because
even
what it does is when we are focusing on doing a rescue, that is our priority at that point in time. So as opposed to going there and re-concentrating on extinguishing the fire, you have to be focusing on rescue, so it takes away from one part. Whereas you can focus on one thing instead of doing two things at one time, which requires even more manpower.
Of course, of course. Because the life is more important than the building.
Very much so.
Yes. Okay, wow. That's very good. Thank you very much for sharing that. So even in this time, we know that there are some students, well, especially like the secondary school students and those who will be taking the 11 plus exams, you know, they'll be at school for a time, but then summer is fast approaching. And, you know, these are things that we can put into practice with our children, make it into a nice little exercise so that the children will know what to do, and drill them, make sure that they know what to do and how to do it, and talk to the neighbor across the street. You see, that's why it's good to have good relations with your neighbors.
Yeah.
So that in God forbid, in time like this, your children can be safe with the neighbor, right? We know that there are people who will be at work. There may be less summer camps to attend, so children will be at home. Maybe some will be at home alone, and these are things that we need to drill in our children because they are important. Yeah?
Yeah, and now you said about the children and school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most children will still be home doing online classes and school.
Right.
And funny enough, it just reminded me of some videos that I saw recently with persons not knowing the emergency numbers. So in this day and age, three most important numbers, 211, 311, and 511, and children and adults still do not know these numbers.
That was a local video?
Yes, I saw more than one local video where persons did not know the numbers are called. What the numbers are called for the police are, even I could tell you for a fact, dispatch center get numerous calls of persons calling for one entity and calling say, oh, this runner, what's the number for this? So it's like, even now, persons still do not know the emergency numbers.
Okay.
So we have online classes, so now we are having on radio school. So the homework for this week, parents and children, is learn the emergency numbers. What is 2114? What is 3114? What is 5114? And during the week, you have pop quizzes. Mommy, what is number for your service?
That's good. That's good.
Exactly. So that's your homework for this week.
All right, all right. Thank you very much. Officer Silva is giving homework to the VOB listeners. Oh, well, that's it for the 311 Radio Show. We want to say thank you very much to you, gentlemen, for your wealth of information, your knowledge being passed on as per usual. Research and Planning Officer Andrew Taylor, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, and Fire and Life Safety Officer Kevin Sobers.
Thank you very much, and stay safe, Barbados.
Yes, and I'm Krista J. Paul, wishing you a wonderful week. As you go along, remember these little reminders and to put them into practice. And as we always say at the end of every 311 Radio Show,
fire prevention is our intention.
All right. Thank you.
Protecting life and property. Call 311. Promoting fire safety. Call 311. Enforcing safety standards. Call 311. Even rescuing animals. Call 311. Jaws of life are accidents. Men and women are resilient.
You can depend on the Barbados Fire Service. 311.